All right, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another News and Focus podcast. It's Friday afternoon, and I have in the office with me Jack Farmer. Jack is is our high school principal. He's the administrator of our school. He's an ordained pastor, a leader in one of our Sunday school classes, and the issues in this article warrant having a high school principal administrator in the office with us. The article comes from New America, newamerica.com, culture/education. The title is Too Many Minority Students Behaving Solution, Stop Punishing Them. Since we've all heard of affirmative action, the last name of the author is Duke. We've all heard of affirmative action and apportioning jobs based on racial quota. Jack, both of us were in the Army. And I'm sure you're quite aware of the fact that the Army diligently works hard at ensuring that it has, in the upper echelons of leadership, race diversity.
Absolutely.
And so this means that sometimes a qualified applicant doesn't get promoted. That's just a fact.
That is a fact.
That's what racial quotas are all about. That's what affirmative action is, whether we want to sidestep it or not. But this is different. Now, in the Minneapolis school officials want to mete out punishment based on racial quota. It's part of a wider movement orchestrated by the federal government to reduce the number of suspensions of Black and Hispanic students. Breitbart News Network's Warner Todd reports on the story, writing, "The Minneapolis school system, MPS, announced a major new district-wide policy for disciplining students. Any suspension of a non-white student requires the district superintendent's approval. The MPS has been slung by reports that students of color are 10 times more likely to receive a suspension than white students. The Minneapolis school system has an enrollment of over 32,000 students, and listen to this statistic, 70% are non-white." I would have never guessed that number for that far north. I'm a little bit surprised. I'm obviously ignorant of the racial disproportions. I would have thought Detroit, Philadelphia, I would have got that. I would not have thought it as Minneapolis. School Superintendent Johnson, a Black woman, maintains that she wants to disrupt the current suspension trends. Says she wants to, Jack. She wants to disrupt them. Johnson makes the claim that Blacks and Hispanic students are being suspended for behaviors for which white students are not held to account, but critics say that's false. In fact, Johnson's agenda doesn't seem at all to concern equality of behavior standards of application, but equality of outcome, as she remains, according to the Star Tribune, committed to completely eliminating the racial suspension gap by 2018. What is, you just sat down and read this for the very first time 5 minutes ago in my office, Jack. What is your reaction to this?
Well, my first thought is, it's sad when we get to a day where you're looking at the outcome rather than the preventive measures ahead of time. And personally, I'm sitting here thinking at it, at our school level, we're a single academy. I could not imagine going over to Ms. Chapman, our elementary principal, and saying, okay, you no longer have the authority to discipline students. They have to come over here and meet with me in the high school.
Well, wait a minute. It wouldn't be that. You would tell her.
You can't.
You would tell her, you may discipline whites. You may discipline Asians. You may discipline...
A demographic.
Right. Now, can you imagine saying such a thing?
But when what that's going to do is it's going to completely destroy the ability of the local administrators, the building administrators, to be able to control their buildings.
I cannot imagine the outcry that we could expect.
So we get a situation where, well, let's flip it. What if we said, okay, look, you can't discipline the white students because we have our demographic is not like this one, where we took the majority of them and say, hey, you can't do that. I'm going to take all of those on myself. So we have a lady who's basically taking 70% of 32,000 students and saying, I'm going to be personally responsible for their discipline.
I'm going to be responsible for anything other than
the minor, the little minor stuff, maybe you can handle it, but the big stuff, I'm going to take care of it.
What I found incredibly disturbing is that the federal government is keeping track of this.
Yeah, I saw in there where it says, this reflects Barack Obama's administration's long-standing desire to apply racial quotas to school punishment, and the administration had announced in early January it would be monitoring school systems that discipline minorities more than whites.
Yeah, monitoring. The federal government is monitoring what's happening in a local school district. I mean, I don't know why we have a Board of Education. Why don't we just elect a national Board of Education, 12 or 15 people, and they call all the shots at a centralized location?
Well, that's what Common Core is building towards.
You better believe that's what Common Core. And the typical American has got their head in the sand, and they're utterly clueless as to what's happening.
Yeah. And the thing they're not looking at is the pool. I mean, let's face it. You got 70% non-white. Of course the numbers are going to be larger.
The numbers are disproportionately larger, though. The numbers in the article are startling. Thomas Sewell writes, obviously it isn't possible to apply the same behavior standards to all students and have no racial suspension gap unless races are committing transgressions at precisely the same rates. But as Dr. Thomas Sewell recently asked, do you really believe that black boys cannot possibly be misbehaving more often than Asian American girls? This brings up an important point. There is a school racial suspension gap no one wants to talk about. Whites are suspended more than Asians. So where does this stop? Because once you go down the road of we're going to make sure the suspension is the same, what about high school dropouts? Are we also going to, so then you can't, you keep them from dropping out, or you can't fail them?
We've already tried that. That's already been a national movement that's tried and failed. I mean, think about it. We passed an audit yesterday. The state came and audited our school. They came and they picked out all of our school records. They tracked our attendance for the last couple of years. They looked at our students. They looked at everything else. They looked at the standardized test scores. They looked at our cutoff for what graduation requirements and what we were requiring, and we were actually audited by the state as a private school with a lot of autonomy to see whether or not we were upholding the North Carolina compulsory attendance laws. And what are those about? You can't have your student drop out. You can't decide as a parent, my student has a primary education, they can count and do money. Now they're ready to work on the farm because all they're really going to do is deal with the feed store livestock store.
Right. They have enough sufficient education to contribute to the farm.
Right. So I need them in the field. No, you can't do that because they can't have a driver's license unless they're in school. So they even tied it to our driver's license. And that's across our nation. In Arkansas, the state I came from, it wasn't in place when I was there. But if my sister, who's 9 years younger than me, it was in place when she was in school, your parents could be arrested for you not attending school by the compulsory education law. So this is going to be taking that same mindset and now putting it to the classroom behavior.
All right, so what about grades? Why doesn't she go after grades in the same way? You can't fail an African-American student without my permission. I mean, where does this stop?
Well, grades is a whole other issue. That's going to be masked by the annual, yearly progress reports. They're already playing with that anyways. See, that's where this end of grades, the EOGs that we take here, that's what that compensates for. In other words, as long as you pass that EOG, you showed course competency.
Regardless of whether you actually passed the course.
Now, your GPA is going to hurt you for college, but you're going to go progress up the thing, and we're going to let you take it a couple of times if you don't. Because if you don't pass it, we're going to put you in some remedial training and train you on the test again, and then you're going to pass.
We're going to teach the test.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the teachers have a lot of pressure on it, because if they have a percentage of their students not pass it, then they're looked at for not being retained.
Dear listener, you know, I want you to understand what's happening here. A particular demographic is being signaled out and receiving favorable treatment in order to ensure that somehow the statistics change. So we're not going to the root of the problem. We're not going to the problem that African Americans in Minneapolis are coming from single-parent households where they do not have a male role model that demonstrates to them how to be appropriate. I mean, we know that if we went to Minneapolis and we got the 70% out, Jack, that the numbers would be phenomenally disproportionate when it comes to several things. One of them would be low-income welfare recipients and the absentee dads. Most of these African-American boys would not know who their dad is.
And that correlates more closely, even all the textbook writers, the education researchers, the actual real education people, not Eric Holder, who's an attorney. These guys, they go out and they consistently find that there is a direct correlation with poverty and the structure of the family,
right,
to low performance, mm-hmm, in school, both academically and behaviorally.
Yep, yep. The article goes on to say, Linda Chavez related earlier this year, while 5% of white students will be suspended at some point in their academic year, so the number is 5%, only 3% of Asian students will be. Thus, if it's assumed that the black, Hispanic, white suspension gap is attributable to prejudice, why is it never asked why the white Asian gap is? So there's no concern about that. Linda makes a great point. Her objective is to show the hypocrisy of this entire thing. And then the other question that we want to ask is, why not? What about the gender gap? I mean, boys are suspended at a higher percentage than girls across the board, right?
They're disciplined more in our school than the girls are, for sure.
Right. I'm sure that if you looked at how many boys get detention versus how many girls get detention, there'd be no comparison.
Yeah, there's no comparison.
It's a totally... So we need to change that. See, from now on, Jack, you don't have permission to give detentions to the boys. I'll be the one that does that so that we can fix this. No one is looking at, hey, maybe boys are just more disruptive by nature.
Right. And the thing of it is you're looking at this, the demographics and all of this too. And the guys, well, let's be honest, okay? If YouTube had been around in the 1950s, we might could have found videos where a mob of white people attacked a black person. But this isn't pre-1963 civil rights movement America anymore.
No, no.
We're talking 2014, and I go to YouTube, and I don't see non-whites videos,
right,
all the time of the knockout game, the mob attacks,
right,
everything else. And I'm not saying that there's not Caucasians that are in that group, but you look at the predominance of the group on video, the majority of the people are a non-white demographic.
Sure they are. Right.
And so why is it not reasonable to believe that most of those are look like they're either just left high school or of high school age, are not doing the same thing in their school hallways?
Thomas Toll goes on to say, this is promoting racial hysteria. The most cynical of these boogeyman's ploys is Attorney General Holder's threat of legal action against schools that discipline a disproportionate number of black boys, unless you believe that black boys cannot possibly be misbehaving more often than Asian American girls. What does this political numbers game accomplish? And then I want to make sure that we include the statistics in New York. Did you see those numbers in New York, Jack? They're startling.
Yep.
It says, to the point here, blacks and Hispanics, maybe this number's wrong. All I'm doing is I'm reading from the article. I have not researched it. America.com typically has reliable information, so listen to these numbers. To the point here, blacks and Hispanics commit 96% of all crime in New York City and 98% of gun crime. Given that group's rate of misbehavior in school system closely reflects their crime rates, would it be surprising if suspension rates for blacks and Hispanics in New York City were far higher than for whites? Yet this would be considered unjust discrimination under Eric Holder's racial standards, while giving non-white transgressors a free pass and suspending whites for minor misbehavior to achieve proportionality would be thought justice. So, what I think that's just an amazing point. The author is suggesting here that what we need to start doing is giving suspensions to detention kind of things for whites and giving detentions to blacks so that we lower one number and we raise the other number, because we got to get these two numbers the same.
Got to get them match up.
At the high school level. We cannot recognize the fact that there's a particular ethnicity that needs more energy driven towards root problems. We refuse to identify that.
So if we applied, if we took New York City and we took the Minneapolis school policy now, and we extrapolated it over to the New York City justice system,
right?
Based upon these statistics, the only way that you could do it is if you get pulled over in New York City for driving, for speeding. I don't know if it's possible with all those traffic jams.
Right.
But if you were pulled over for speeding, you're going to Rikers.
Yeah, I'm going to jail.
No, you're going to go to Rikers.
Yeah.
And a guy who maybe shoots somebody, if it's his first offense, gets probation.
Right.
Pays a simple fine.
Because we got to get these numbers balanced. We've got to get, if there's a black person in jail, we got to go get a white person and make sure that the numbers are balanced. We're not really concerned about the fact that 70% of the population of the 32,000 is represented by this demographic. That's really not important. What we want to make sure is that the numbers are the same.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how this is flying.
Well, there's another thing that we haven't addressed in here, and it's what's taught in universities. I mean, even Liberty University, which is a
Christian university,
when they have to maintain accreditation, they have to use secular textbooks. I've taken a course on diversity, and it's in there. It says that as an administrator, to have a diversity of school, you're supposed to sit down, and this goes back to the Army thing that you brought up at the very beginning. And I look at it, and I say, okay, well, 70% of my school is non-white. That means 70% of my administrators have to be non-white.
Right.
70% of my faculty has to be non-white. It automatically sets the conditions for this to be able to go through without a resistance.
But what happens, Jack, if I can't find qualified people in that particular demographic? Then I lower the standards until...
I have them.
I have it.
Because the perception is greater than the quality.
And the article makes a particular point, making reference to the failure to get these troublemakers out of the classroom makes it impossible for those that want to get an education to get one. Let me see. As for the Minneapolis school system, under Superintendent Johnson, has already been eliminated. It has already eliminated all suspensions of very young elementary school students and will reduce the police presence in schools, but creating a chaotic environment of lawlessness and a lack of accountability helps no one. As Sewell concluded, the real danger is allowing disruptive students in ghetto schools to destroy the education of other black students in a world where education is the only hope that most ghetto youngsters have for a better life. And that's a great concluding paragraph.
It almost quotes like Bill Cosby says, you got to quit looking for a government handout and put your own hand out to something that's called work and raise yourself up.
Well, the reality is with a high school diploma and without a high school diploma is starkly different. With a college education, without a college education is starkly different. The absolute key, if you just... from a pragmatic perspective, set aside the biblical perspective for just a moment. If you want to earn a good living, you have to get an education.
Absolutely.
There's no... The numbers are disproportionate in every way, shape, or form. And what this is, in its truest sense, is socialism, Jack.
It is. It's creating an equal outcome.
Yep. Without regard to effort by the individual. The effort of self-control, the effort of obeying the rules, the effort of any of those kind of things. Forget about that. It doesn't really matter how you act. We're going to make sure you don't get suspended. Doesn't really matter whether you do your work or not. We're going to pass the class. Doesn't really matter whether you got an education or not. We're going to give you a diploma. Well, where does it stop? It doesn't really matter whether you go to work or not. We're going to mail you a check. It really doesn't matter. We're going to level it out.
It's already there. I mean, it's already there. I mean, You go on there. I think I saw a YouTube video recently where it was a young lady. She was on there and she was talking about, why would I go to work? Because if I go to work and I start making, I won't receive as much.
Less, right.
I will receive less. Right. So it's easier for me to stay home and receive because I have a higher quality of life.
Right, right. She's saying that there's a disincentive to mm-hmm. work because I'm going to lose some benefits, and the person has to be willing to lose something in between until they work long enough to get beyond what they're getting right now. But since they don't have any confidence in their ability to get beyond what they're getting right now in that in-between state, right, they don't choose to do it. When I entered the Army, the job I had in Boston, Massachusetts paid me more than I did as a private in the United States Army. But in the long run, I was able to move beyond that and then get a military retirement. And I had great benefits during that 20-year period. But for that first year and a half in the Army, I was actually making less money. If you look at the way you track annual wages on your Social Security benefit sheets,
right.
I went down only to turn around and go back up.
And I'm sure that those years were not as enjoyable.
No, they were not enjoyable. No, they weren't as enjoyable. No.
Because something that this article doesn't address that we know from our own experience is a negative reinforcement is a greater motivator than allowing you free rein. Could you imagine what it had been like if our drill sergeants had been like, well, you don't have to do push-ups.
No.
We're going to let it slide this time.
It's okay.
It's okay. It's going to be okay this time. No, it was the absolute fear that I didn't know what number was going to come out of his mouth. And I knew I only had a certain number left in me.
Well, just
that
imagine,
I'm not going to do that.
Imagine a scenario of a platoon in basic training, Jack, and you have blacks, Hispanics, whites, and Asians. You have males and females.
And the only persons that are getting smoked are the
The Asian females or the white males. Can you imagine? The drill sergeant would holler out, 14, 51, 72. And depending on what number was the ethnicity that you, you know, 14 push-ups for the blacks, 32 for the whites, 71 for the Asians. Now, while the person listening right now is frustrated with me, that's exactly what this article is all about. Whether you like that illustration or not, that's what's happening in Minneapolis.
And then you have to stop, even if you are one of the frustrated listeners out there listening, ask yourself, what do you honestly believe the morale is going to be like in that unit? What is the morale going to be like in the classroom?
Can you imagine a scenario where at the local level, the principal can suspend whites and Asians, but if you're African American, it takes the district superintendent to suspend you? And she's bent on eliminating suspensions, so what will it take to get suspended?
Right. What are you really going to have to do?
Kill someone? Bring a weapon to school? What's it going to take? I wish that there was a listener in Minneapolis that could give us some comments, give us some feedback. Send me an email. Send it through Sermon Audio. Put a comment on here. Tell us what's going on up at the MPS. And you can be sure it's not just MPS.
No, it's not.
With Eric Holder monitoring it, it's happening in other locations as well. We just happen to be talking about Minneapolis. And nobody is talking about how do we fix it in the African-American community, because what it would take would be a change in perspective. And that change would be, we're going to wait on sex. We're going to wait on sex until we get married. We're not going to have sex with anyone unless we're married. And we're going to raise children as husband and wife. That single thing would affect it.
And I'll add one more. No matter how hard my marriage gets,
I stay married.
I stay married. I stay committed to the vows that I've made.
Right. Yeah. We're going to go to work. We're going to stay committed to these things. Our children are going to get an education. And
they're going to behave well while they're getting it.
Right. Yeah. And that's the solution. Unfortunately, the president is ignoring the real issues. Eric Holder's not helping at all. Well, those are our thoughts. What are yours? Looking forward to a comment on this podcast. Thanks, Jack, for coming in the office and joining us. You guys have a great day out there.